In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is risen.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, a common theme in this time, we're screaming Christ is risen. We're still wearing the bright vestments. Our newly illumined are wearing their robes. We don't just celebrate Easter for one day or one week. We celebrate it for 40 days and even for our whole life is what it should be. And yet, the reality of our life, the desire of Christ and the reality are often different. As I spoke about last night after Vespers, which is that in the resurrection, Christians should be totally transfigured people. Different people than they were before and different than the world, set apart from the world. In the world, but not of the world. What brought the whole world to Christ was the transfiguration and the repentance of Christians. The resurrection makes repentance possible. Repentance is what actualized the resurrection and what turned the saints from normal fallen people like us into this process of theosis. God made us so we could have theosis, which means to be like Him. St. Athanasius says God became man so that man could become God. Not by essence, but by adoption. That's the purpose of being alive, why we breathe, why we move. That's why God made us, to make us to unite with Him and make us God-like. And we forget that purpose. Yes, we have to eat and sleep and go to work, and of course. But all those things only have their place if we know our true homeland. If we know our true purpose, and the saints show us that. I know many people, not all, thank God, but we pray less after Pascha. We fast less. We strive less. It should be the exact opposite, the saints say. St. Paisios says, the grace of God is raining on us. And we waste it. It's like we don't want it. Because we turn Christianity kind of into this philosophy or like, yeah, I'm in, you know, I was baptized, you know, yeah, Christ is risen, this is fun food and drink. And the kingdom of heaven is not food and drink. And so the question constantly has to be asked, how do we live this resurrected life? How can the things in the scriptures we read about become our inheritance? Ours, because that's the point of it. You know, most people have faith like this. And by the way, it's infantile faith like this. Yeah, I've read some books. I guess, you know, I've read some different things, comparative religion. I guess Christianity is beautiful. If I had to bet, I would guess that Jesus is real and that He's the real God. Yeah, I'll bank on it. I hope for the best. People think this is faith. This is not faith. This is weak faith. It's infantile faith. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So if our beginning of walk is, shoot, I'm going to die in my sins. If I keep judging and keep lusting or whatever I'm doing, I'm going to die. I feel it. That's not a bad thing. That's a good way to become. We have to be growing. Growing in Christ. And I would dare say that so many people live in this place. They think faith is, I believe this idea is, I kind of hope it's true, but you know, who really knows? That's a nightmare place you cannot stay in. This is what makes Orthodoxy different than anywhere else in the world. What is faith then? It should progress to knowledge. It should progress to experience of Him. I know my wife. She's a real person. We know each other. We spend time together. I know. I don't theoretically believe she exists. We have an encounter. Each of us in our friendship and our connection. I don't doubt your existence. You can write letters with a pen pal for a long time. I guess no one does that anymore, the email. But in the old days, as kids, we would do that. Pen pals in China or whatever. And it was interesting to always think, like, I wonder what they're like. I wonder what... And there was a cool thing when I was a kid. We got to meet our pen pals a couple times. Wow! It was amazing. It was totally different. Experience of them. Knowledge. Not just reading about them. The gospel tells us about Jesus. That's important. But it has to go just about Him. To us, put the book down and say, I want to meet you and to know you. And then your faith isn't this weak, like, oh, I kind of hope this exists. I don't really know. That's so weak. We get beyond that and say, I know Him. Maybe in a small measure. Maybe it's only little experiences at a time. Not emotional, sentimental, oh, I feel Jesus in my heart. Not that. But a deep spiritual life. And you taste Him. And you know why the saints gave their lives. You know why Saint Fotini today gave her life. Because she tasted something that God wants all of us to taste. And I would dare say many of us aren't even looking for it. We're looking for the wrong place. There's a story of a man in the church fathers. There's a man outside in the front of his grass. And he's in the hands and knees looking for something, kind of scared. And his neighbor says, what are you doing? He says, I lost my key. lost my keys. He says, okay. So the guy gets down on his hands and knees and looking and nothing. He says, what was the last place you saw them? He's like, oh, in the house. He says, well, what are we looking here for? He says, oh, it's really dark in the house. I can't see. I can see better out here. Stupid. Ludicrous. But we're like that. We're very comfortable in the worldly ways and do this and do our cross and do all these things. But to go into the heart, to actually depend on God when you're losing your job, when you have cancer, when things aren't going your way, to cling to Him, to make your whole life His, to go into this heart and repent and to show that you're sick. No, no, no. We're not comfortable with that. Let's keep it external. Let's keep it external. That keeps us from real life, from real faith. And that has to change. And the fathers say, how do we do that? Look at what the church tells us. This is our goal, brothers and sisters, not just for saints or for holy people. None of this nonsense of like, oh, this is too high of a bar, Father Justin. We're just regular people. That is a cop-out. If that was the attitude of the early Christians, the church never would have continued. These weak apostles, who are weaker than us, became lions with the Holy Spirit. And we're going to say, oh, let's go to church. And you know, what is that? That's not repentance. It's not going to change you. It's going to be miserable. Don't even bother going to church if it's like that. Just live a worldly life. At least you'll have fun. And not have to be dragged out by coming here. You see, hot or cold, the Lord says, if you're lukewarm, I spit you out. And we want to find this secular life where I can have a perfectly comfortable worldly life and a spiritual life. And what do you know? We're bad at both. Because we have to die to this world. Right? The Lord says that. What was the mark of early Christians? St. Paul says this. He says, those who are Christ's in Galatians have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. What's the definition of a Christian? How do you look at a person and sense them and say, that person is of the living risen Christ? That person's resurrected. If this happens, if they have crucified the flesh with its passions, right, and desires. How many of us is that? How many of us, that's not taking place? Yes, we try to love God. Yes, we try to love people. We do that, but we live for our passions. We, far from starving the passions, we feed them. We do the opposite. And dare I say, one of the temptations of ecumenism and the world that's flooding the church and all modern spiritual life is this idea is that that's what life is about. Rather, don't fight your passions. You know, come to church and you'll be more successful. Come to church and you can eat more and be a glutton. We'll support you. What? That's not what St. Paul said. That's not what drew Muslims, you know, in terrible times of the church to be baptized into Christ. That's not what brought the Jews. That's not what brought the Native American Alaskans in Alaska to Christianity from paganism. They didn't look at the Christians and go, oh, they're fun. They talk about Jesus, who's very beautiful, but they are no different than us. They're pagans and addicted to their flesh and passion, just like us. Nothing to offer. Moving along. No, they saw in St. Herman and in St. Innocent, ascetic people. They saw that normal people are ascetical life. So don't believe the line for a second that, well, I'm not a monk, I'm not a nun. That's not true. Because it's the ticket to having this deep faith, real faith. In fact, I would dare say you go beyond faith and you come to experience of God. And you never question God's existence ever again. Never. And all you want to do is be with Him more. And you want to pray more. And you want to love other people more. Because you know, the more you love people, the more you experience Him. That's what changed the world for 2,000 years. That's what the disciples realized. And that's what St. Fotini realized today. Let's look at how her life can be a pattern for us. We can't leave here unchanged today. This is called the Samaritan woman. She's on our wall right there, St. Fotini. What an amazing woman. This is the longest conversation Jesus has with another person in the whole New Testament. It's a beautiful conversation. Why is it there? So that we can grow from it. He comes to the well. Our Lord is fully God and fully man. Early heretics say, Jesus wasn't a man. Yes, He thirsted. In His body, He thirsted. Like us in all way except for sin. And He went, it was hot part of the day, disciples leave, and there's a woman. The well, a Samaritan woman, a half-breed to the Jews. They hated her. They didn't talk to them. They were unclean. They had some of the law, but they kind of mixed it all up. They believed in Mount Gerizim. The Jews believed in Jerusalem. And He says, give me some water. And she's shocked. You don't talk to us. You're above us. This shows the Father said, Christ wants every human soul. He doesn't care if you're a Greek, if you're a Jew, if you're remaining in America. He doesn't care about that. And the church can never care about that. Can never be a social club. Never. Or a cultural club. Never. Christ, the Jews only cared about that. That's why, in many ways, they hated Christ. That's why they hated St. Paul later, too. Because he wanted to share the goodness of God with every human soul, which is what draws our hearts. And he comes, and it's a beautiful dialogue that takes her from ignorance to knowledge of him. And we're trying to follow that same way. So her life is a pattern for our life. She says, it's such a beautiful thing. How is it you ask me for a drink? If you knew that, he answers so beautifully. He takes her from the worldly stuff. We often come to church like, hey, if I get baptized, will my life be better? Will I be happier? People often come to me and they'll say, hey, will you pray for good luck in my job, Father Justin? Well, of course I will. We don't believe in luck, by the way, the providence of God. But we should be going deeper. Pray to know Jesus, to know Christ, have deep faith. And then it doesn't matter where you go to work, you're going to be blessed. Whether it goes great or it goes terrible, you're going to have joy. And yet we try to turn the church into a way to make our worldly lives better. He doesn't stand for that. He says, she's talking worldly. He says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked me for living water. And now she's like, huh? What? You have no bucket, buddy. Like, get real. The world often says it to us. Jesus calls us and says, eternal life, living water. And you go, what? This doesn't make any sense. This isn't comfortable. Come on. The world says, Christianity is ridiculous. Some guy rose from the dead. Ah. But Jesus doesn't let it descend to that level. Are you greater than Jacob? She says. Yeah, he's a lot greater than Jacob. Listen to what he says. Everyone who drinks this earthly water will get thirsty again. Like we know that we drink water, we're going to get thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I will give him will never thirst forever. Never. The water that I shall give him will become in him a spring of water welling up into eternal life. He's changed the conversation with her and with us. Right? Yes, we come to the church, maybe we'll find peace because we're not racked with guilt because we're repenting and we're doing this. But it's all secondary. This is the promise he makes us. That's why we celebrate this mid-Pentecost feast right now. We're halfway between Pascha, the resurrection, and the coming of the Holy Spirit. When the Comforter comes, he'll bring full truth, the Spirit of life, so that we can have this too. So we can receive that water and eternal life can constantly be pouring out of us. What does that look like? Look at the saints. Eternal life, miracles, healing. That's what poured forth from the saints. Repentance. How did they get it? How did they get that thing that we want so badly? Not just like go to church, be a good person, go to die. No! In this life, rivers of living water flowing from us. How did the saints do that? Watch the way the Lord brings her to that. She says, hey, give me this water so I don't have to come back here and carry this heavy jug. She still doesn't get it yet. The Lord's drawing her from the worldly to the most important, to the spiritual level. As he wants to draw us, we resist. No, keep it worldly. Keep it comfortable. He doesn't allow it. He pulls, always pulling us up to paradise. And so now he says, here's how I'm going to bring you. I'm going to humble you. I'm going to show you your sin and bring you to repentance. And this is very important, brothers and sisters. It's more than saying, I believe in Jesus. It's more than being baptized. Those things are meaningless and worthless unless we repent. So the first words of Christ in the Gospel, John the Baptist, repentance is what unlocks the gates of paradise. Tears, repentance, humility is what brings rivers of water. We don't believe that. I don't want to be depressed. I'm a good person. That's a lie from the world. You must descend for him to pick you up. Right? He who humbles himself will be raised up by the Lord. So he helps her, as priests often have to do to people, as bishops, as the holy fathers and the saints, to say, this is sinful, you need to stop it. A lot of people say, how dare you? How dare you tell me that? I'm a good person. How dare you criticize me? How dare you say that my kids aren't perfect? How dare you say so-and-so? You think I want to do that? You think Father Paul wants to do that? It'd be so much easier to do the liturgy, never say a word, just smile, have really nice, comfy homilies, and say, Jesus loves you. Christ is risen. We're all baptized. We're dwelling in the grace of God right now. Depart in peace and joy. Be well. What is that? It's a bunch of nonsense. It's a bunch of lip service. And you leave totally unchanged, still full of lust, still full of pride, and that infantile faith that ruins us. Not what the church service said, not what the Holy Father said, not what these saints died for, not what St. Fotini died for, and not what I'm going to stand for, or Father Paul, or Metropolitan Joseph. So if it's because we love you, the Lord loved St. Fotini so much to bring her to this place. But she didn't get it. She was still worldly. He said, and I love, Christ is so smart. Go call your husband and come here. Oh boy. He knew her heart as the living God. He knew she was in sin. So now he's going to draw her a different way and say, I know you before your mother's womb. I know you. And I know the good and the bad and the ugly. Christ knows us intimately. And he calls out her sin. He reminds her that, you think you're so smart, you're going to challenge me in this conversation? No. I'm the living God and you have sin. And that's why you can't hear me, the Father said. Wow. And she says, I have no husband. And he says, as the knower of all hearts, he says, you're right, I have no husband. For you've had five husbands, and the guy you're with now, living with in sin, is not your husband either. Wow. He knows that she's been living in sin, like us. You might say, I'm not like that, I've never done that. We all, the Father said, are like her. Distant from God, seeking him, because she asks questions in a minute. She wants to know, how do we worship God? How do we know? So even in her sin, she still wants to know God. Every human soul in their sins and the homeless and drug addicts and all of us broken people, we want to know God too. We haven't forgot about him, even though we're sinners. Even though she had these five husbands, we have our five addictions. Whatever it is, the Father said, we have to identify with her. And the Lord will call us out on it. And she didn't say, forget it. Don't insult me and walk away. She didn't do that the way many of us do that. I'm not going to listen to this. I'm not going to listen to being criticized. I'm a great person. I'm not going to listen to this. They walk out of the church, or they walk out of confession, or they put the gospel down. I don't want to hear this. I'll go back to my worldly life. That's a path to death. Maybe it's temporarily fun. It's a path to death. But she was humble. And she said, you're right. I have no husband. And the Lord humbled her. And how did she respond? Sir, with respect, I see you're a prophet. So she doesn't know him yet. Now he's gone from being some guy. Now he's a prophet. You see how the Lord's raising her to know him more and more? And she acknowledged it. She didn't say, you're wrong about me. She was just humble. And what does she do? She's humble. Her sin is shown to her. And she asks a spiritual question. She says, now that she knows that he's the real deal, our fathers worshiped in this mountain. You say Jerusalem. What do we do? Amazing. That because of her repentance, the Lord is going to lead her to ask about the most important things. How do we worship God? And listen to this line. Very important. You worship... Wait, women, believe me. The hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. Right? It doesn't matter. The church is beautiful, but this is the church. The human heart is the church. Every human heart becomes the church. We don't care about the Jewish tabernacle. We don't care about the LDS obsession with all things Jewish or the Protestant obsession. It's passé. It's over. We have a living tabernacle, which is Christ, that abides forever, and he's the kingdom of heavens within us. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. For salvation is in the Jews. Why do we say, look at the Lord himself, the living God is saying, all churches aren't the same. All religions aren't the same. Not at all. One leads to everlasting water. One does not. He didn't say, it doesn't matter how you worship God as long as you love him. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. The hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for such the Father seeks to worship him. The Lord shows us how to worship him. We don't make it up in the church. The Lord and the disciples show us. The Holy Spirit shows us to do this liturgy. To humble ourselves. To go to confession. We're not making it up. The Lord gave it. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. How the Spirit? The coming of the Holy Spirit in Pentecost. Which was given to each of us in holy baptism. Right? And in chrismation. That's what took these disciples who were illiterate and scared and made them lions and transformed the whole world. That Holy Spirit is the same Spirit with us and will always be in the church and never leave us. If we put it on. If we live it. What does she say? I know the Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will tell us all things. So she says, I want to know. I am a sinner. Help me. And then the Lord, who's been hiding for a while in the Gospels, more humbly, he says, I who speak to you am he. Very direct. I am the Messiah. I am everything. I am life. I am that person. And just then the disciples come. They're surprised. They see her talking to a woman, let alone a Samaritan. They're kind of shocked. What does she do? She's amazed. She's been led to leave the worldliness and to seek heavenly healing and to seek the water that won't run out. But she had to humble herself. She had to acknowledge her sin. The Lord called out her sin, as the Lord does in the church. Thank God my spiritual father helps me. And helps me. Thank God he doesn't give me the sugar treatment. He wants me to be healed and to have Christ in my heart enthroned. But it's hard medicine sometimes. Right? The fathers and the lives of the saints are hard medicine sometimes for us. If we swallow them, look where it leads you. Higher and higher. And the next one is, she acknowledges her sin. She doesn't run away. The Lord forgives her, and he says, how do we worship God? How do we be healed? Worshiping God as he tells us to worship him. And then she's in awe. She's in awe of this call. He's the Messiah. You're the Messiah. You're everything. What does she do? She takes her bucket, her stone jar. She just bolts to the city, leaving her jar behind. What does that symbolize? The old life is gone. She's never going to be the same person. That's how we should live with Christ. Never be the same person. But some of the saints were terrible. Something happened. I can't live the same way. That's what repentance is your whole life changes. And how scary that many of us, and sad, we become Orthodox and we barely change anything. Our confessions after baptism the same as before? Lord, have mercy on us. That's a sign that we're taking the grace of God and not using it to change. He can't force it. It's not automatic because you're dunked in the water. You're totally transformed if you want it in your freedom. The grace of God can be in vain, the fathers say. We should be changing. Yes, we're going to keep sinning, but hopefully at least there's some new ones. My gosh, right? Hopefully we're changing and there's progress in the spiritual life. But we have to struggle for life. And that's what brings that everlasting water. She left it and she ran to the city. And you know what she did? She wasn't ashamed of him. She didn't care about it. She was thirsty. She didn't care about the water in the desert. I met a man who told me all I ever did. She's a disciple already. She's not a priest. She's not a bishop. She's a repentant sinner who met the Messiah and ran to the whole world. And listen to what she says. It says, many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of her testimony. And then what happens? All the Samaritans in the city come out to meet him. Unlike when the Lord cast the demons out into the pigs and they went into the water and they said, leave us. These people want him. And the disciples are so beautiful. As they're coming, there's this vision. And the Lord says, lift up your eyes and see the fields are white for harvest. So the wheat, the tops of the head of the wheat would get white for harvest. That was the analogy. It said the fathers, the people there dressed in white, light clothing. It was hot. And they came. And the Lord said, just as grain is for the picking, he was chosen, showing the disciples, look at the world that is dying to know me. Harvest. Go harvest. That's what bishops and priests and the church, that's what our church, the whole life of the church will always do. And by the way, the church, the light, the world will never come to an end until the gospel is preached to all nations. The Orthodox gospel, the healing gospel. That's what the Lord keeps the world alive, the fathers say. Do you have food? Do you have food? They said, do you have food? Remember that question? Are you hungry, Rabbi? Eat. He says, I don't care about earthly food. Stop being worldly. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. That has to be our food. We have to go from saying, yeah, I eat, but not like I used to eat before I was Orthodox, before I was a serious Christian. Now food is fuel. It's nice. Sometimes I enjoy it. But my real food is to do the will of God. And that really fills me in a way that will never go away. And the last is so beautiful. What happens? Many believe because of her testimony. They come to meet Christ, and they spent 2 days with him. And it said, they turned to the lady in St. Potini and said, it's no longer because of your words that we believe. We have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. Look what can happen to a Christian life if we're repentant, if we're humble, right? All of us start as sinful people that don't know God, and he's willing to bring us in the same way to be a saint. St. Potini went on to live a totally different life. You know, and she ended up as a martyr. She went from place to place preaching Christ, not afraid that Christ is risen. Repent. I repent, and look what's happening to me. And it spread like wildfire. And it wasn't like, yeah, she's Orthodox now, her life was better. Her life got worse in a worldly sense. She was persecuted. She was beaten, and eventually she was martyred. And near Rome, you know what happened? They threw her into a well to mock her. Into a well, like the woman of the well, because they knew she was the one. And she went to her death with joy. How? Her food wasn't the food of this world anymore. Her happiness wasn't in a bratwurst or in a glass of wine. That was nice. But she was able to sacrifice that. Her food was to do the will of God. And that's what happened to her. She didn't care if she was in prison. She didn't care to be thrown in the well because she had rivers of living water flowing from her heart. I want all of us to have that. I want to have that. How do we do it? It's very simple. Live a repentant life. And what does that mean? Yes, we have to come to church, worship in spirit and truth. But are we taking the medicine of the church? All the saints, same. Repentance. That first quote I said, you want to be Christ's? Crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. Get over your gluttony. Fight. Come to one of the spiritual fathers and talk to us. Get a prayer rule. If you're lazy, that's not what a Christian... Christians are not lazy. God can heal that. Right? I'm not a person of prayer. If you're not a person of prayer, you'll never have that living connection. Your faith will always be weak. Isn't it worth the work? Isn't it worth the effort to come and get a prayer rule from your spiritual father? A fasting rule? When I came to the priest when I first started repenting, I had no idea what I was doing. I was going to church. I was all thumbs. Until I humbled myself to have a spiritual father. And I went to the priest who baptized me and said, I don't know what I'm doing. He says, we're all idiots. And like St. Faustini, he led me. The priest led me in a very humble, loving way. He says, here's when you're going to get up in the morning, Justin. Here's the prayers you're going to pray. Here's how I want you to fast in your situation. Here's how I want you to do it. I want you to grow. I want you to come to confession regularly. And he says, I'm not going to tolerate mediocrity. I love you. I'm like a doctor trying to heal you. I'm not going to let you stay the same. I love you too much. If I push you, forgive me. And I'm so glad he did. I didn't always like it, but I knew that he loved me. And without him, I don't know what I would have done. Right? This is the life in the church. And we're all works in progress, but I want you to have this faith where you don't come to confession and say, I don't even know if God is real. I don't want... That breaks my heart, because it needn't be that way. We can be like St. Faustini. But we have to... That big step that we're all missing is that humbling point. When we see our sin and go, oh, I've noticed a lot of self-pity in the parish recently. Woe is me, I guess I'm just... I call it the Eeyore sin place, right? I guess I'm just a terrible person. I thought I was good, but Orthodox is just too hard. Stop. That's what my kids do when they don't do perfectly on something, right? That's our ego and our pride. The Lord loves us. We're all idiots. Don't try to be holy, try to be humble. God knows who we're all struggling with. But we have to make that beginning. Father Paul and I have promised each other, we talked for a long time, that we're going to double down on our spiritual life even more because we want this even more. We want it for you, and we want to be hypocrites. Let's control our temper. Let's control our mouths. How do we do it? By taking the medicine of the church. Don't allow your sins to... If you have addictions, rein them in. If you're obsessed and addicted to TV, to drugs, to alcohol, to food, to judging, to lust, whatever it is, to YouTube, to whatever it is, that is robbing you from having true life. True life. And the church, the living God, can heal you from it. And if for you to say, no, I don't want to do that, I'm just going to be happy, woo, Christ is risen, this is a fun group people, I like my life, you're not of Christ, the fathers say. That's not going to convert your family. That's not going to convert the world around you, this broken world. They want to see you that you are changed, that you've made progress, not by we're all idiots, by the grace of God, that you're nicer, you're kinder, you're humbler, you pray, you control yourself. Yeah, you're fun still, but there's something different about you, that your whole life isn't about the water bucket anymore. It's not about the world. You're still in the world, but you live for something different. This is the faith that tore down the pagan empire and established the living Christ for 2,000 years. May God help me. I'm the worst among all of you. May God help me to be inspired to know that I want to crucify the passions and addictions by all the grace of the sacraments so I can taste this living water and we can share it with each other. Let us strive for the kingdom of God together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen.